Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the Epistle of James. James chapter 4, and reading for our text, a few words in verse 15. James chapter 4, verse 15. If the Lord will. The whole verse reads, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I'm very mindful as we gather here this afternoon that it would have been some 18 months ago that the engagements for this church were made and the expectancy that your dear pastor would have been preaching here. And they are made subject to the Lord's will. And we are reminded again and again, and I have hardly a year in ministry that goes by, in my own case, where things that, arrangements that I have made, have not been fulfilled in the way that I thought that they would. And how needful for such a word as this. We're used to having it on our posters when we advertise our services, that we testify they're subject to the Lord's will. And it's good to be reminded of it, not just to put it on a notice, but that our lives are subject to the will of God. I wonder how many of us, when we are making such arrangements in the secular world, in our business, in our emails or letters, do the same thing? Or do we compartmentalize our religion, and when it's to do with religion, we put it the Lord will, but when it is not to do with that, we leave that off. The Lord has no such distinctions. He governs our lives in the church, in secular business, at home, wherever we are, is subject to the Lord's will. Those that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, what is your life, it is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that he ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will. We read the two accounts in Luke where the Lord's will was revealed concerning first Zacharias and then Mary, what was going to happen in their lives. And in this case, it is the Lord, through his angel Gabriel, telling them what shall happen. And we find with Zacharias asking, and really there is unbelief in that, because the angel highlights that. He says, whereby shall I know this, for I am an old man, my wife well stricken in years. And he was told that he should be dumb, not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So what was revealed, what was said, that was most certainly would come to pass. And the same it was with Mary. But with Mary, even though she asked how it should be because she knew not a man, yet there was not the unbelief that was mixed with it. And where we finished the reading, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. The angel departed from her. And so in that case we have the revealed will of God. And dear friends, we think of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. in the Garden of Gethsemane, having the will of God set before him, knowing that will, and praying to his Father that if it be possible to let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done, and seeking that submission and to walk in that revealed will of God. And we have our Lord and Saviour as our blessed pattern in that. But in the cases that we have mentioned, and thinking then of our text, if the Lord will, it is not just in one way that the will of God applies to us. And I want to look, with the Lord's help, just two main points. Firstly, the three ways that the will of the Lord concerns each one of us here. And then secondly, some helps in bringing us to be submissive to the will of God. If the Lord will. I want to then begin with that which we read in Luke there, which is the Lord's will that is revealed. He is pleased at times to show to his people what things shall happen. And one specific time, it was the words of Joseph to Pharaoh, when Pharaoh had the dreams that showed the times of plenty and then the times of great famine and dearth. And Joseph said to Pharaoh that God does show Pharaoh what is shortly to come to pass. The will of God revealed to man, and in that way, no doubt about it, it shall happen. And we may say in that the whole word of God reveals to us the will of God to man. And in some cases, there are those prophecies that indicate what will happen many, many years before it actually happens. When we think of the prophecy in Micah concerning Bethlehem, Ephratah, little amongst the thousands of Judah, that out of him shall come the governor and he that should rule Israel. And it was that then that was the answer given by the chief priests to Herod, where should Christ be born? They pointed right back to that prophecy. When was that prophesied? 430 years before Christ came. And there God saying, this is my will, this is what is going to happen. Not just in Judah, but this small, obscure place called Bethlehem, the place where Rachel was buried, the place of the enacting of all that we read of in the book of Ruth, the place where David was born. That place that was given to the tribe of Judah. Of course, that tribe of which was said his name was called Judah, for thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. And the Lord's plan was to place that tribe in that position, over the place where Rachel was buried, over that Bethlehem, and to bring his beloved son to be born there. And we think of how, with Joseph and Mary living at Nazareth, which was 100 miles north of Bethlehem, and yet through a decree of, is in a secular way of the land, of a census being carried out, they of the house and lineage of David, they come back that 100 miles and they come to Bethlehem because the scriptures must be fulfilled. God's will must be performed. And so every man's heart and all decrees work to that end, to bring it to come to pass. And so our Lord then is born in Bethlehem. You know, years later, when our Lord began his ministry, there were those that said, how can this be Christ? Why, look and arise and see that no prophet comes out of Nazareth, out of Galilee, because that's where our Lord was brought up. But if they'd have known our Lord's history, they would have known that actually he was born in Bethlehem. There's been many who have said to me, well, you come from Australia, don't you? You're Australian. I said, no. I was born in Eastbourne. I was brought up here the first 4 years of my life in this chapel. And many do not know that. And with our children as well, they say, well, you've lived here all your life. Yeah, but they were born in Australia. And so many could not see the Lord Jesus Christ because they are blinded by not knowing or not joining together where he was born and where he was living. And yet the scriptures actually also foretold that he should be called a Nazarene, and that in Galilee that they should see a great light. And so the Lord's will was known, and it was shown forth in the scriptures. And so when we look at the Word of God, may we have this response to it in this way. If the Lord will, well, the Lord's will is set forth, and providence unfolds the book and makes his counsels known or shown. And it is not always in the lives of the people of God that he does what he did with Pharaoh and showed him what should come to pass. In that very same account, the Lord chose not to tell and reveal to Jacob that his son was still alive. And for 20 years he believed that he was dead. The Lord does not always reveal what his will is in advance for his people. They must walk it out. And yet as they're walking it out, they walk it out fulfilling the will of the Lord. We do not live in a world in which the Lord has said, I will tell each one of you exactly what will happen in your lives every step of the way. Unfold it very, very clearly and tell you exactly what is before you. It's hidden, hidden from us. And we will not pry into that. There may be those of you here and you'd very much like to know what lies before you and what is in front of you, what is the Lord's will concerning you. And yet you are to think of those like dear Jacob and those that has been wisely hidden. And yet the Lord does have a will. And when we think of the scriptures, the revealed will of God, there's many things we might look in there and think, I wish the Lord had told us a bit more about that, or opened that up a bit more. There's many things that are silent. And that which is revealed belongs unto us. The secret things belong unto God. And it's as if the Lord would kindly say to us, don't worry about that which is hidden. The Lord has shown you what is right, what is good, and what you are to follow. There's many that will really stumble and they will say, why did God allow sin into the world? And a lot of questions about how things are as they are. You know, if you and I know that we're sinners and we feel it and we feel the effects of the fall and then have set before us the wonderful gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and the way of escape from the wrath to come, may we truly embrace that will of the Lord that he has seen fit to provide a way for sinners to be saved. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And our Lord said, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall perish in your sins. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is the revealed will of God. And you and I will never ever overturn that. And blessed be God for that. And you and I will never ever find another way that the Lord will change from that. The promised blessings, every blessing, every promise is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And so I put this first, the revealed will of God in the Scriptures. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And at the time of his birth, at the time of his crucifixion, again and again we have that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. That revealed will is sealed. It is not uncertain. It is sure. It must come to pass. And we have the little contrast there between Zacharias and Mary. Zacharias, with his unbelief, the Lord was merciful to him, gave him a sign. But then we have Mary embracing and believing. Never look upon unbelief as a friend. It's an enemy, it's a plague, it's a sorrow. And happy are those times when we're able to believe what God has revealed and shown to us that shall happen. No uncertainty in it at all. The second way of the will of God that concerns us is the Lord's overruling will. As we said, the Lord hasn't mapped out and shown us what path is before us, and many times we venture. Some of the Lord's people say, well, how can we know what to do? What if we make a wrong step? What if we make a wrong decision? I believe, you know, if we truly fear the Lord, and the steps that we make with prayer and trusting in the Lord, then the Lord will never suffer us to make shipwreck or to do that which is wrong. But the Lord has so ordained it in our lives, and is set before us in this text here, that though we are to make plans and arrangements in our lives, we are to always add this to it, especially in these major things in our lives, if the Lord will. And it's an acknowledgement that we allow and know in God's plan that he can overrule what we have decided and what we have planned. And if we know our own selves, our own limited knowledge, our understanding, that would be a comfort to us. What if we were said, well, everything that you do, that can never be turned back, it can never be disannulled. You know, in the Scriptures it's got the instance of a wife or a woman that is at home with her father, and if she makes a vow, and that might be a rash vow, and if the husband hears it or the father hears it, he has got the immediate right to disannul that vow and say that does not stand, and she's released from that vow. If she is single, or if she's not in the Father's house, there's none to stand in that and do that for her. And you think of the case with Hannah, when she prayed for a child at Shiloh, and she made a vow there. And I've no doubt she made that known to her husband afterwards, that she had made that vow. And her husband, Elkanah, did not disannul it. The vow was that if the Lord gave her a man-child, she would lend him to the Lord all the days of his life. That was to be Samuel. And when Samuel was born, and she wanted to keep him back until he was weaned, Elkanah gave her a warning. And he allowed her to do it, but he said, the Lord establish his word. In other words, he was saying to us, Hannah, you have vowed, make sure, even though you delay it, you fulfill that vow. He could have, when he first heard it, disannul it, but he didn't. And so actually he enforced it that it should be so. And well, she willingly followed it and did it. And so with the Lord has a sovereign right for his people, whatever plans and whatever way they might choose out for themselves, where it is harmful and wrong, the Lord can overrule that or change it for his own purposes and honour and glory. And there's an acknowledgement of that. And I hope we have that sense of that with all that we venture through our lives, that we give to the Lord that sovereign right that he has over us. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? The ways of the Lord that he taught Nebuchadnezzar, when he thought that he was in control and he could do what he liked, then at the end of the Lord's dealings with him, no, it was the Lord that was in control, and Nebuchadnezzar gave him that honour and glory. Wonder how many of us here have proved that. You look back over your lives and how many things the Lord has overruled. And sometimes you say, yes, he's overruled it for my good. And I bless the Lord that he has, that this is in the word of God, if the Lord will. And if it be not his will, then I am willing to have that changed and overridden. And my dear father, he had a verse that was very precious to him, and I found it very good myself as well. The ill he blesses is our good. Our good unblessed is ill. And all is right that seems most wrong, if it be his sweet will. And the Lord has, in ordering of our lives, his will as to the path we should go. And he appoints that path. And very often in the outworking of it, it cuts across our will. He says, no, not that way, but that way. And he uses various things to bring that about. Sometimes it is like we have today, affliction, sickness. Remember a month or so ago, wedding that we as a family, my wife and I, would have loved to have attended, but both of us were unwell. We couldn't go. Overruled. Why? We could not know any reason why. Us not going, others were able to go. Sometimes we may never know the reason why we're laid aside, why something doesn't take place, why it doesn't happen. I was remembered years ago on a particular Wednesday being persuaded that I would preach that night. No one had asked me to, but I felt persuaded. And I had a text. I'd gone down to the town of Cranbrook and I came back home. My wife said, well, Uncle Gordon rang from Staplehurst. Could you preach in the night tonight? I rang him back. He said, oh, he said you weren't home. I rang someone else to engage them. He's always puzzled me since. Was he right? Should he have been exercised? Should he have run back again? I never did preach from that text. Why was it so? Don't know. And there'll be those things you and I can't fathom, can't work out. But you know, one day we will be able to see, clearly see, and that all the Lord's ways are right ways, and that his will is perfect. So there will be those things that we look at how the Lord has changed the course of our lives, using men, using hard things, afflictions, cross providences, losses, many things, and yet they're in the Lord's hand, and he uses it to make his blessed will known. So that is the Lord's overruling will. You might say, with everyone that has been called by grace, the Lord's overruling will. We've desired to walk in our own way, but the Lord has appointed us not to wrath, but to obtain salvation. We may look at that a little bit later. But there's a third way of the will of God that concerns us. And that is when that will of God is made known to us and we're actually to act upon it. You might say with Pharaoh that we mentioned before, he was to act upon it, those dreams. He appointed Joseph. They appointed a way that all of the corn should be stored up and ready for the time when there is to be the famine. But there'll be that for you and for I, that instead of it being hidden from us, the Lord shows us what his will is, and it is for us to actually act upon what has been shown us. In the days of Ezra, when they'd been brought back into the promised land, there was much mixed marriages, there was things that need to be settled and done, and the people, they said to Ezra, arise and do it, for this thing belongeth unto thee. And where the Lord has something to be done, then he will never lack a person to do it. But sometimes they're very backward to do it. And that was the case with Moses, when the Lord appeared to him in the burning bush already. He had been schooled up 40 years in Pharaoh's palace and 40 years in the wilderness. The Lord had prepared him. But when he said to him, now you go and you go to Egypt and you go to Pharaoh and I will bring the children of Israel out and you shall worship me in this mount. How backward Moses was in that. And in the end, after making so many excuses and saying, send whom thou wilt send, but not me, then the Lord was angry with him, appointed Aaron to be his mouthpiece because he said he couldn't speak well. But Moses, he had to go. That was part of God's will, and he was part of God's will. And that he actually had to act. He had to go to Pharaoh. He had to walk in that way. And I'd put that to you, dear friends, here. Are there not times in your life, in mine, when the Lord has shown us what we should do and we must actually do it? I remember having a situation once. I'd been so praying that the Lord would appear for me in a job situation, and in a remarkable way he did, and I didn't have to put my hands to it at all, except that when I was then given that job, I had to resign my present job. And I really struggled, and the chap that had introduced me to a new firm, he said, if you don't give them an answer, you're going to lose their job. You've got to give them an answer, and you've got to resign here. And it was making that step of leaving an employment I'd been with 4 years and coming into another one. And with that other one I had for 12 years and they employed me for 3 years after I came over here. The Lord's hand was much in it. But that reluctance to actually make that step and that venture. And yet I could see that was the Lord's will. And it may be that those of you here, it's not that you don't know the Lord's will. It's your reluctance to actually walk in it is the problem. The Lord has said that he make his people willing in the day of his power. It's a lot better to heed a voice than it is to hear a providence. There were years ago I had an allotment. I took it over from my son and I enjoyed it. I had sweet meditation in it at times. But it always used to come. You'd have to get the harvesting just on the Saturday evening, and it always used to interfere, and I thought, this is not profitable. And my conscience told me, you've got to get rid of this allotment. But year after year, I just kept it going. And then we had our special services in April, and the Lord was pleased to give us, because the benefit was for me as a pastor, £200 more than the previous year. So, oh, that's nice for a nice help with a holiday. And then I went to start on getting the allotment done and set the strimmer off to clean off the ground, and the neighbour walks round. She said, you've just smashed the door of my conservatory. A stone had gone straight over a high fence and smashed it. You know, I heard the voice of the Lord then. That was what the £200 was for. I paid that off and I went to the council offices and I cancelled my allotment. And I thank the Lord for that direction, but really I should have listened to the Lord's voice the years before it. Shouldn't have needed that. And it may be with you. The Lord has made his known will to you, and he'll have you walking away. He won't turn back from that. He won't say to Moses, well, you've protested enough, I'll get someone else now. No. The Lord knows how to bring his people willing to his feet. Why, so what is the will of the Lord to me? The Lord will make it known. Whether it is in a path in providence, whether it is in the house of God. If the Lord has blessed your soul, you think of the commission to those that believe that they are to be baptized in his name. That is the will of God. And he'll make that known to his dear people. If they don't walk in it, when he makes it known to them, then he'll bring them into paths where they will eventually walk in it, willingly and lovingly. And so there is that aspect of the Lord's will when he shows it to us, and it requires action. Arise and do it. Perform it. And not expect to be forced in it. Be ye not as the horse and the mule, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come nigh thee. It is, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And you think of the rider on a horse. The rider uses his eyes, or her eyes want to go that way, so she pulls the reins and the horse's head goes round and it goes that way. But if that rider didn't have any reins or any way of moving with the bit and just sat on that horse and said, turn left, turn right, no forcing whatsoever, and that horse just obeyed. The Lord says, that's how I guide my people. I don't force them. Thou shalt hear a word behind thee when thou turnest to the right hand, when thou turnest to the left. Instructed and taught which way. Shown what the will of the Lord is. And so there are these three ways that the Lord's will is concerning us. If the Lord will. If the Lord will. I want to then look in the second place. It helps to submission to the Lord's will. And you say, why? Why submission to the Lord's will? Because you know the flesh dislikes the way. Faith approves it well. But the flesh dislikes the way. And the Lord will have one, not unwilling, but submissive to it. And so I want to look at some of the ways in the Word of God, and especially think of how Paul begins when he writes to the Ephesians, and he tells them that they're being chosen of God, being predestinated, was according to the will of God. And he says in the ninth verse of the first of Ephesians, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. The Lord purposing in himself. He says in the earlier part, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I'd say to those of you here that may be struggling with the will of God today, if it was not for the will of God, then we would not have been chosen. We would not have been predestinated. We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son in this life, that as he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, so will we be. As he was rejected of men, so will we be. If they did those things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And our Lord said, if they have received my words, then they will receive your words. The people of God in this life, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, are strangers and pilgrims in the world. And this is not their rest, it is polluted. And the Lord will make sure there's some thorn in the nest so that we don't sit down and have our nest here below. And the Lord will use ways so that that is the case. And so may we remember on that. If we are struggling with the Lord's will over a particular thing in our lives, you think, well, it is that same will that inscribe my name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. It is that same will that predestinated to me to be called, to be chosen, to be born again of the Spirit. Shall I resist that will now? Shall I say, I bless the Lord for that will that did so choose me and call me and stop me in my wise mad career, who overruled my will then and turned me into Zion's ways. But now, in this providential thing, in this trial, I want my will and I struggle with thy will. Can we not trust the one who has put us in the way of his family and in the way of his dear people? Also, we think of the Lord in the garden. We've already mentioned this, where our Lord bore and had the sins of his people laid upon him. He hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And there our Lord saw, he knew what was the Father's will. That's why he had come so freely to this world. But here he was to actually come to the time and to have that weight put upon him and the judgment and the cross that was before him. How is he such a real man, recoiling from that cross? Father, if it be possible, if not possible, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. What an example. But if you and I are saved, then our sins were laid upon him there. He willingly took them there, and he bore them away. Again, your present trial, your struggle with the will of God, would we quarrel with his will then, with his submission then, with his willingness to take our deep, dyed, black sins in his body on the tree and to suffer for them? Would we quarrel with that? May the thought of that, the consideration of that, make us submissive to His will now, in whatever way that that may affect us. But then what of the will of the Lord as expressed in the beautiful prayer of John 17? He says, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. We depend upon the will of God, the will of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, to be with Him in heaven at last. Would we quarrel and try and wrestle with His will that concerns us in the things of this life, even our close relatives, our loved ones, our friends, our health, our strength, when we depend upon His will and the Lord has already expressed His will, that He'd have His dear people who He has called here below to be with Him in heaven? You wouldn't quarrel with that, would you? You'd prize that will. He shall give grace and glory. No good thing shall He withhold from them that walk uprightly. If the Lord has given us heaven, shall He not order all things here below to that end? Shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What a blessed prospect, but it is bound up in the will of God, the same will that orders your life and my life and governs all things. We spoke before also of Christ's example, even spoken of in the Psalms. I delight to do thy will, O God, thy law is within my heart. When he was on the well of Samaria, the disciples came after the woman at the well. She had gone, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? They said, Master, eat. And he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. The Lord Jesus Christ, a blessed example of doing the will of his Father. And he testified and says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. May you remember that this time of year, the Lord coming down from heaven not to do his own will, but to do the will of his Father that sent him. And may we also know, the Lord says, I ascend unto my God and your God, my Father and your Father. May our desire as well to be as obedient children and submissive unto his will. We need much grace and much help, and the word is given that for our help in the sorrows of the way, the trials, the disappointments, but may they bring us into sweet submission and in fellowship with our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in this matter, if the Lord will. Amen.